What's up, everybody? This is your host, Uber Mike, of the Make That Money MMA YouTube channel and podcast. And this is the Bag Grab Series, Episode 3. And this third one's going to be a charm as we have UFC 264, Poirier versus McGregor 3, Big Fight Week. We got hardcore fans, we got softcore fans, and we got casuals all coming out the woodwork and giving their opinions on a sport either they follow a lot or they don't know shit about. Anyway, what I do is I go through the different price tiers on the DraftKings app. So if you go to your DraftKings app and you go to the MMA contest, in case you never played DraftKings before, you're going to see different prices ranging from 9K to 6K. And I'm going to give you some plays on that. This is going to be short, sweet, and simple. I'm not one of these cappers or these YouTubers who are going to talk about each and every fight for an hour long. We got better shit to do on top of that as well. I'm all about getting into the green. Let's get into the green. Let's make some money so we can spend it on our rent. We could spend it on a vacation. We can spend it on cocaine. We can spend it on hookers. Or worst case scenario, you could spend it on child support. But anyway, I've spoken too long. Let's get into this, going into the 9K plays. 9K plays for this upcoming DraftKings slate for UFC 264. The first guy that I like, Sean O'Malley, 9,500. No brainer. Basically, he's fighting bum off the streets in short notice. And what I mean by that is, if you saw the whole hoopla of Ricky Simone and Merab wanted to step in short notice to fight O'Malley after Luis Smoker fell out, and that fight didn't happen because this Chris Montoya guy, or whatever the hell his name is coming in. I mean, it makes sense. The UFC has vested interest in Sean O'Malley. And when you run the tape on this Chris Monato kid, this guy looks like an absolute filler fight. This is like a mandatory if you're watching a boxing match on Fox or some shit like that. This guy throws feints from halfway across the cage. He swings from the hip. He keeps his chin up. And he's making his UFC debut against Sean O'Malley. I'm not saying Sean O'Malley is God's gift to the world or anything of that sort. But in regards to this, there's no better way to open up the card than having one of your biggest UFC hype machines come in and kill some dude with some blue looking hair thinking he's Goku Blue, and having no defense similar to Goku Blue for all my Dragon Ball Super fans out there. But if you didn't get that reference, let's just cut to the chase. The only thing I see beating O'Malley in regard to this bout, it's osteoporosis, split spleen, anything that's kind of self-inflicted because he's sort of injury prone is the only way O'Malley's losing this bout. Other than that, I'd see O'Malley coming out here handling business. You're going to want exposure to this guy because I think he's going to be super highly owned. But if you want to go against the field and osteoporosis does strike Sean O'Malley, good for you. But I don't think so. I think O'Malley comes out here, gets it done, and everyone goes fucking crazy. The next guy in the 9K range is Salgis Zhumagulov at 9,300. Now, I get it. He's 0-2. I thought he beat Paiva personally, but I'm not going to get into that because this is a completely different matchup. And he fights kind of conservatively. He's well-rounded, but then he looks to counter. And then a lot of times, if he does have that opportunity to shoot in on the hips and hit a takedown, he can. And I just like him, even though his price range is ridiculous, because his opponent, Jerome Rivera, absolutely sucks. And I was scrolling through Twitter, SureDog, wherever, you know, the MMA peeps hang out and talk about MMA and stuff. And everyone's so impressed with Rivera's 6-inch reach advantage. He's 5'10". I think Zhumagulov is like 5'4", 5'5". Everyone's into this whole height and reach thing, but this ain't basketball. This is fighting, and Jerome Rivera suffers from Stefan Struve syndrome. Have all the height in the world, but have no damn idea how to use it. And on top of that as well, I have a personal vendetta against Jerome Rivera because I backed him when he fought Figueroa's little brother in his second to last fight. And he looked like shit, dude. He looked like shit. He looked like Bambi. He looked like he was still learning how to fight while fighting at the highest level. And the fact that we're going to put credence to his measurables, even though he doesn't even know how to use his reach or anything of that sort, I'm not buying it, man. Now, Rivera does have, you know, submissions off his back and stuff, but he ain't no damn Damian Maia or anything that's like top level BJJ. There's levels to this. And Jerome Rivera, to me, he looks like maybe, you know, a one stripe purple belt for all my BJJ practitioners out there or something. And that's just giving, that's me giving him a lot of credence in this regard. I think Zhumagulov fights smart. I think he gets in on the hips. I think he controls them. I think he stays safe. And as crazy as this sport in, as crazy as this sport is, I wouldn't be surprised if Zhumagulov scores a big knockout. And then he's super low owned because of his past performances, people being all up on the height and reach of Jerome Rivera and giving him a shot, fair warning, and or just it being unexpected. Like, I just like Zhumagulov, and this is simply, it's not simply because of his skills, it's simply because Jerome Rivera sucks. Now, going to the 8K plays for this DraftKings slate for UFC 264. At 80.1K, we have Dustin the Diamond Poirier. Now, before I expand, the winner of this bout's going to be on the optimal. This fight ain't going to decision. And if it does go to decision, hella points are going to be scored. And there's going to be really, really high ownership in regards to both sides. Connor's 8,100 as well. But the reason why I'm really liking Dustin is that Connor is live for about a round and a half, 2 rounds. Now, if you're a Connor dick rider, if you're Connor's Vaseline man, if you're Connor's manager, whatever, you know, Connor title you give yourself, and you think he's simply gonna like come out here, make adjustments after 5-6 months of getting knocked out in the rematch, then by all means roster him. I'm not saying it's a bad play DK wise, but me personally, I just feel like Dustin has just improved, man. He has looked good. Yes, he's hittable at times and stuff, but he's just becoming a more sharper fighter. And on top of that as well, he has an intangible that Connor has lacked since his first loss in the UFC against Nate Diaz, and that's that heart, that grit. That's something that you can't really measure in stats. You can't really measure in numbers or things of that nature. You got to see it on the tape, and you got to watch the fights, man. Now, I mentioned Connor has a round and a half, 2 rounds to get the job done, and people can reference the second Nate Diaz fight whenever Connor went all 5 rounds. But I dare you, the listener, to go back and watch that fight, and then go back and watch Poirier's fight when he fought Dan Hooker and he went all 5 rounds, and tell me who had the better second win. Who would you back? Which horse would you bet in that race in regards to who's going to look better when you extend? I'm not even going to answer that question for you. You do the homework yourself. But anyway, long story short, Conor McGregor, I get it. Big show, man. Big left hand, which hasn't really translated at 155, only against Chinny Eddie Alvarez. And it took him like 3 or 4 knockdowns. And on top of that, the last time we seen Conor at any sort of height or any sort of like awesome, hungry looking performances from McGregor was back when Barack Obama was president of the United States. Now, you know, 2 administrations later, and Connor's looking like straight shit. He doesn't look good, man. He just looks frail. He only has that left hand. He doesn't throw any sort of combinations. Even if he learns to check the calf kicks that Poirier offered him in the rematch, Poirier was countering him with the left, his left, not left hook, he's a southpaw, his right hook, whenever Connor would come in and try to extend his combination and stuff. And this whole bullshit about, oh, Connor rocked Dustin and all that stuff, man, get that narrative BS out of my face. If Dustin was hurt, he would have been doing some sort of chicken dance, or he would have been on skates. But that wasn't even the case. He ate the punch. He came back. He did his thing. He put his game on McGregor. He took him out. So I don't even want to buy it. And Dustin saying that he got rocked was just his way to get this easy trilogy fight cash grab, to be completely frank. So after going through all that, I just think that Poirier is a smart enough fighter. Not only is he a smart enough fighter, he's a gritty enough fighter, and his volume is hella good. Look at his DraftKings scores, man. Whenever he puts it on, motherfuckers, dude, he scores a lot of points, triple digits and stuff, versus Connor's got to get it done quick, or Connor has to get a newfound gas tank. And I feel like Connor may have bought whiskey, Connor may have bought cars, Connor may have bought flash, but he couldn't ever buy a gas tank. And there's no way in hell you're telling me eight figures later he has it. I fucking doubt it, man. I doubt it. I'm not saying Connor can't win, but man, oh man, he's going to have to show me something. And I feel like I'm just going to go off the quote Nate Diaz said, rich people shouldn't fight, man. They just shouldn't fight. That's just my point blank period. You're too damn rich, man. Why you got to do this, man? You give me eight figures, I ain't fighting nobody. I'm going to the Bahamas with two babes and a Mai Tai. I'm done. This ain't about my vacation dreams. This is about the picks. I like Poirier at 8.1K. Roster who you want to roster for this main event. Next up, Trevin Giles at $8,000. Now, to preface this, this is going to be a pretty, this one's a bit risky. Now, Giles has the hand speed. He has the UFC experience. And I feel like he can be winning minutes against this Duplessis guy. Because when I watch Duplessis' tape, yes, he throws big hands. Yes, he throws leg kicks. Yes, he comes forward. But he's sort of sloppy on top of that as well. I feel like his stand-up is a work in progress. Like, you could tell there's not really a process there. It's just more of like, okay, let me just swing, see if I can clip my opponent, get him out of there kind of thing. Versus Trevin Giles has a nice, quick, snappy jab on top of that as well. He can hurt his opponent whenever his opponents, whenever he's able to put it together and such. But the thing about Giles is this guy does stupid shit, man. Like, you watch the Gerald Meerschaert fight. Clearly has the stand-up advantage. Wrestles with Meerschaert. Gets put to sleep. You watch that James Krause bout. He could have just stood up and did his thing against Krause. Engaged with him in the ground. Made that fight closer than what it seemed. Obviously, his Bevon Lewis fight, he looked his smartest. He looked like a Harvard graduate. His fight IQ on that fight was on point against Bevon Lewis. And his last bout against Doledas, obviously Doledas implemented his game in the first round. And in the second round, Trevin Giles defended the heel hooks, and then he did damage. In the third round, he was tagging up Doledas on the feet and decided to engage in the grappling. I'm just saying, if Trevin Giles goes out there and takes two brain cells and rubs them together, just rubs them together like really fast, really hard, he can win this bout. He can win the minutes, possibly find a late finish. But by goodness, if he decides to try something out in an all-stakes UFC fight, then Trevin Giles is going home with half his paycheck, in my opinion. I think he gets it done. I think he's going to fight smart. And if he fights dumb, what can we do? But I think Trevin Giles gets him done. I think he's going to be low-owned because of his lack of fight IQ. And I think he has the process to win minutes, let alone get a late finish on Duplessis. Now, my 7K plays. Omariok Madoff at the DraftKings price of $7,600. I get it. Brad Tavares looked good his last bout against Antonio Carlos Jr. He stuffed takedowns. He made Carlos Jr. work. I think Carlos Jr. attempted like maybe 10, 12 takedowns in that bout. I don't remember. I don't have the stats in front of me. And the one time Brad Tavares did get taken down, he popped right back up. But even though he did look good in that, I feel like Omariok Madoff brings a different wrestling pedigree than Antonio Carlos Jr. does in regards to Antonio Carlos Jr. being more of like a jiu-jitsu guy and like his process and the way he goes about getting his takedowns, and Omariok Madoff's process as well. On top of that as well, I feel like Omari's stand-up is, it's not trash, but it's serviceable. His left hook isn't bad. He throws a really sloppy overhand right, but then whenever I think he throws it like that because it helps him change level. And then if he's able to mix in his striking with his wrestling, that's when Akhmadov is truly at his best. Now, Omari does have gas tank issues, but I feel like that's more of the case if his opponent is putting pressure on him, which I haven't really seen from Tavares's fights. Tavares has, I will say, the crisper striking, but he doesn't seem like a guy that like goes after you and like puts it on you and forces you to fight kind of thing. And I feel like Omari will be able to pace himself. Omari has decent enough stand-up to offer something to Brad. And then from there, he can work his takedowns. And I feel like Omari's takedown process is a lot different. And I'm not ready to crown Brad Tavares and be like, okay, Brad Tavares, his TDD is God tier and no one can take him down kind of thing. Let's see how he does against Omari. I think Omari's going to be able to find a way to either sneak in two rounds like he did against Ian Heinisch, or this fight will be 1-1 going into the third. And Omariok Madoff is a soldier, man. His style isn't sexy, but it gets the job done. It's like a bologna sandwich. It ain't the best. It ain't filet mignon. But if you're hungry, He gets the job done. I like his price. I like his process. Omari Akhmadov, 7,600. And finally, we have Yozong Hu at 7,200. And the preface, this fight's going to be an absolute shit show. The reason for this suggestion is Akhmadov is really bad, and he's listed at 9K, which is absolutely laughable. And Hu Yuzong is listed at 72K. So basically, you got two bad fighters who haven't fought for about a year, 2 years. Like, both of these guys haven't fought in a good minute. And now they're about to meet each other for basically, this is going to be bloopers, UFC style, to open up the card. Hu Yuzong, he fought at heavyweight. He fought at light heavyweight, and now he's coming down to middleweight. And he's going to be the much bigger guy compared to Amadovsky. Amadovsky's a headhunter. He has no process in regards to jabs or hooks or setting up shots. He just wants you to sit still in the pocket and just wing shots. I'll never forget when I backed Amadovsky when he fought John Phillips. All the dude had to do was take John Phillips down. And he said, I'm willing to die tonight. And he died. And not only did he die, my bankroll died that night. But that's a different story. Hu Yuzong, he's quite hittable. He has his issues as well. But I feel like Hu, if you, like Trevin Giles, can rub two brain cells together and say, I'm going to use my length, I'm going to not engage this guy in the pocket, I'm going to, you know, score points, I'm going to work takedowns, because Amadovsky's takedown defense per his fight against Jocko wasn't the best in regards to showing his takedown defense. I'm talking about Amadovsky. And if Hugh says, I'm just going to fight smart, score points, cage push, throw volumes, does not give Amadovsky that blood, guts, and war fight that he wants, I think this guy is going to pay for that really, really cheap price. But if he wants to, you know, point at the middle and say, let's fight, oh my goodness, whatever. He's going to be 7,200. I think he'll do fine. But then again, this is a fight where you just got to hold your breath and hope for the best, but not in regards to Hugh having no chance just because the fight stinks so bad. More of a landfill fight, but yeah, that's my 7K plays. Now going into my 6K plays for this upcoming UFC 264 DraftKings slate. You see that face. 6K range is a joke. Jerome Rivera sucks, like I mentioned before. And this other kid, Chris Montoin, or whatever the hell his name is a WBA, WBO, name whatever boxing federation. He's a mandatory. He's a fill-in. He's there to basically curtain jerk, die for O'Malley, whatever. This range is a mess, dude. And if you back any of these guys or you throw them into any of your lineups, if you got a big bankroll, you're personal friends with these guys, or you just don't give a damn, this range is a mess. I'm not touching either one of these respective fighters. Now, going into the bets for this upcoming UFC 264 card, depending on your sportsbook, my sportsbook sucks. They release props and such like literally Friday, Saturday, when all the value and all the meat is taken off the bone. But if you have a pretty decent sport book that has props open for the Omari Akhmadov versus Brad Tavares fight, I would look into the Omari Akhmadov to win by submission. I read online that prop was at 18-1. Now, Omari Akhmadov, if he happens to get his takedowns going, I'm not 100% sure how the get up or the bottom game of Tavares will be against a very top-heavy wrestler like Akhmadov. But if Akhmadov is able to get his takedown and is able to ride and get on top and rack up control time on Brad Tavares, the sub can be there. Sprinkle a little money, and if that thing hits and you're able to get these really good odds, depending on where that number is at for your respective book for this prop bet, and the prop bet being Omari Akhmadov to win by submission, then you might have enough money to buy a Tesla. And if you do, donate to me. You don't got to give me no money. I'm just BSing. Spend that money how you want to spend it. Anyway, this is Bag Grab Episode 3. Appreciate you sticking around. Go ahead. Hit them bookies over the head. Put your lineups in and make that money. Spectate while our pockets accumulate. And other than that, enjoy the fights.